You know, we're all worried about filling up our cars with gasoline, and I mean, I have to worry. I drive my pickup truck in. It costs me $80 to fill the gas tank if it's gone nearly dry. And a lot of people will tell you, they call me and tell me on the show, it's all about the speculators, these guys who are buying the oil futures. It must be them and them alone driving the price up artificially when it doesn't need to be high. Well, I thought we'd ask a guy who's really in the know on the Banking and Finance Committees of the United States Senate from the great state of Idaho, Senator Mike Crapo.
You raise a very good point. The reason that the futures market is important and the reason that it helps to actually reduce and control and stabilize the price of oil is that it creates a marketplace for those people who truly do produce oil. Let me give you an example. If there was a company that wanted to invest $5 billion in building a new oil platform or improving a refinery or doing something to increase our actual production of oil, and they went to the bank and asked for a $5 billion loan, there's no bank in the world who would loan them that money unless they were able to hedge the loan, which means that they were able to sell the first 3 to 5 years of their oil production out into the future to assure that they had the dollars to pay the loan back. And so the person who now needs to hedge that loan to help produce more oil needs to have a marketplace in which there will be other investors who will invest in that future oil contract. And that's how it works.
And so that's the benefit to the guy who's producing the oil, to the guy who's buying the oil, who's saying, I run a construction company. Like we know that Mr. Kerr, who's a local right. contractor I've talked to, he says he uses 2,000 gallons of diesel oil a day in his construction business. A guy like that might want, I don't know if he's a big enough consumer to do it, but he might want to say, boy, could I buy, you know, my oil futures to lock in my price of diesel oil for the next 12 months? It might be a tremendous benefit to him to be able to do that if he locks in it just above today's price, if he thinks that tomorrow's price is going to be lousy.
That's right. And another point that you make there is very valid, and that is for every person who wants to go into the futures market and speculate that the price is going to go up, they have to find someone on the other side. There has to be a counterparty to every transaction. There has to be somebody on the other side who will speculate that the price will go down. And if you look, or stay stable, and if you look at the amount of investment in the futures markets, there are almost an identical number of people selling long as selling short. And so, you know, the argument that somehow all of this investment activity is driving up the price, it simply isn't borne out by the facts. The Commodities Futures Trading Commission, the U.S. Treasury, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and the Federal Reserve System just completed a study to analyze whether there's any hoarding of oil happening through futures transactions, and they concluded that there wasn't.
And in fact, is anybody physically capable of taking possession, actual physical possession, in a tank or in a tanker somewhere, of enough oil to actually have a marked effect on the whole marketplace?
Well, there are very few who would have that capacity, although let me make a point with that question.
The U.S. government?
The United States of America is okay. hoarding its oil in the ground. And the OPEC nations, by the way, have leveled off their production for the last 4 years. So in essence, both the United States and the OPEC nations, by refusing to produce oil, are in effect keeping it in the ground and hoarding it. That is what is pushing the price of oil up.
And the biggest hoarder, can we say it's Harry Reid?
I would say that with the bill we have on the floor, and Senator Reid has refused to agree to our request to open up and expand it, the bill we have on the floor will assure that the United States will not get into any further production. And, you know, the United States is has one of the most abundant reserves of oil in the world. Most people don't think that because we haven't produced our own oil and we're so dependent on the OPEC nations. But if you look at the Outer Continental Shelves as just one example, there is enough oil there that if the United States were to produce it, it would equal the total amount of oil that we have purchased from the Persian Gulf states for the last 15 years.
You know, I understand that Green Valley in Colorado as well has, what, an estimated 800 billion barrels of recoverable shale oil that would be enough to supply the United States' needs for 100 years?
That's right. And the $800 billion figure there, or billion gallon figure there.
Barrel.
Barrel.
Sorry.
Excuse me. The 800 billion barrel figure there is the known reserves. There are estimates that amount actually could end up being about 1.8 trillion barrels of
shale
oil.
Gee whiz. That's incredible.
And that doesn't count ANWR, over which we have been battling for 2 decades now.
So here's the funny thing. Explain the politics of this to me, Senator. We're talking to Senator Mike Crapo from Idaho. the Democrats pretend to represent, you know, the laboring man and woman in America, although I think the Republicans do a better job of it. And they certainly represent the folks who identify with unions to a greater extent than, you know, you don't find a whole lot of conservative or Republican union members, although I've talked to a number of them. But if they're representing all those guys, wouldn't most of those trades be the guys who would get, guys and gals who would get a lot of the jobs building the plants, building the refineries, operating the refineries, digging the oil, putting the pipes in the ground, all those things that would happen if they let us go after that shale oil, for example, in Colorado?
You're exactly right. If the United States were to engage in its own production, the amount of jobs and the amount of economic activity that that would generate would be unbelievable. In fact, I'm kind of hedgy or sketchy on these numbers, but I think it was something like $700 billion that the United States basically exports to other economies because every year because we do not produce our own oil. And the bottom line here is that I believe the reason that the Democratic leadership will not let the Republican proposals to look at expanding our own oil production come up for a vote in the Senate is because they know that if they let those issues come up for a vote, they will pass.
No doubt. And in fact, those $700 billion could stay here to pay, for example, mortgages here in the United States.
Just think about the difference. It's both. Think about the difference of stopping a $700 billion outflow of resources from the United States to other economies in terms of our balance of trade.
Yep.
And creating a $700 billion level of economic activity in the United States, not to mention what that does with regard to oil prices.
Plus, as I understand it, the best way to get that oil out of the ground, the shale in particular, is to heat it up or to put in some kind of heated material to cause it to be drawn out of the ground. Nuclear power, which we've got the technology down to a T, would be the perfect way to do that, wouldn't it?
Nuclear power is a tremendous positive force there and in many other ways.
Yeah.
What a lot of people don't realize is that not only is nuclear power one of the most clean and efficient and effective ways to generate electricity, but we now have the technology to utilize nuclear power to generate hydrogen. And that's not as, you know, we've talked about hydrogen cars and so forth, but hydrogen is also what we use to increase the strength and power of our fuels. It's what we use to take crude oil and turn it into gasoline or to take the further steps and turn it into jet fuel. It's the addition of hydrogen. So nuclear power is very critical in this equation.
Now that's Senator Mike Crapo from Idaho. He's one of the people trying to hold the line back there.